It is time for Green Visions, a KUMD production to encourage green thinking and green actions. Green Visions is made possible by the Minnesota Power Energy Conservation Program, making progress toward a lower carbon energy future. Well, maybe you caught a glimpse of the new ship pulling into town, the EPA research vessel Lake Guardian. Made a stop in Duluth on its search for new species and evaluation of the lake's lower food web. EPA life scientist Dr. Annie Schofield joins us today. She is aboard the Lake Guardian, and supervisory scientist Beth Hinchley-Malloy is on the line, also from the EPA's Chicago office, just in case we have a little trouble keeping Dr. Schofield on the line from out in the middle of the lake someplace. Good morning, scientists. It's nice to have you with us.
Good morning. We're so happy to be here today.
Well, we've got a good connection so far. So let's talk a little bit about this research vessel. Where did you start? Where are you off to? And what are you looking for, Annie?
So I am aboard the Environmental Protection Agency's largest research vessel in the Great Lakes. It's called the RV Lake Guardian. We started our spring survey in Milwaukee on April 1st, and we have made our way through all five of the Great Lakes. We're just wrapping up our sampling in Lake Superior, and we will be headed back to port in Milwaukee in just a couple days. We are looking at everything in the lower food web and water quality, taking a lot of samples out here to track long-term changes in the lakes.
Was there anything in the lakes that you were able to notice with your eyes? Some years the lake levels are very low and people are aware of that very much. Some years the lake levels are high and that seems to be apparent to folks that are familiar with the area. Sometimes there are water quality things that people can see. Have there been any changes that have become already apparent to you, even before you've had a chance to kind of get back and crunch the numbers?
That's a good question. Out here on the lakes, you know, we can't really observe the lake levels directly because we're mostly out in the middle of the lakes taking our samples. But probably the most notable thing that we can observe in real time is water clarity. So we use something called a Secchi disc, which is a little disc we lower down into the water and see basically how deep we can see it. And that is a measure of water clarity that we're literally just looking at with our eyes real time. And what we see is that, you know, Lake Erie is the least clear, especially the western basin. And then the upper lakes are really clear. On our survey this year, Lake Huron has been the clearest of them all. We had one measurement more than 20 meters deep where we could still see this little disc in the water. So that's a big picture observation from the survey, real time.
Well, you know, of course, why you can't see the bottom on Lake Superior. It's because there are so many fish, you never see the bottom. Just saying. Oh, that was
also very, very deep.
Well, and then, there, of course, there's that. What is it like to live on board a research vessel for a month? You know, I mean, it's not like a yacht, obviously. So you're not out, you know, in swimsuits tanning on the deck like we see people, you know, do in the movies. But it's also not like, or is it like the scary little fishing boat in Jaws, or is it somewhere in the middle?
I'd say it's definitely somewhere in the middle. It's far too cold, in my opinion, to be out there, you know, sunning on the top deck, although we have had some nice weather. Our vessel is 180 feet long, for reference, and we can, I think, maximum have up to about 40 people on board.
Wow.
Right now we have 11 scientists and 15 crew. So that gives you a sense of, you know, how many people are here, the size of the boat. You know, life out here is pretty different than on shore. The pace of the work that we do all revolves around when we get to a station and need to get out there and sample water, you know, water that we collect and all of the little organisms that live in the lake that we collect. So usually we work 12-hour shifts, the dance team, and we alternate from 4 to 4 a.m. or p.m. So we're, you know, up and working a long time, and it's really nice to be out here on the lakes. It's a really beautiful way to spend the spring, I would say.
One final question about the life on the lake that I've always wondered about. The first time that I encountered super, super darkness without city lights in view, I was a little bit spooked by that. What was it like for you the first time that you were on a ship overnight and looked around you in all directions and there were no other lights?
You know, I really love that about being out on the lakes or out on the ocean. I've done both, and it's one of the most beautiful things about being out here is being, if you go up on deck at night and you don't have any of the light from the cities and you can see the stars really well, and we're just, you know, this little research vessel in the middle of the lake doing our work and enjoying nature at the same time.
It sounds like a great gig. So let's talk about, apparently you're also gathering nearshore data. What is that like, and how can we, for example, here in Duluth, eventually gain access to that information, and what could it teach us about how we're interacting with our beloved lake?
That's a really good question, and you are right that we are sampling the nearshore zones of both Lake Michigan and Lake Superior this year. This is work that is kind of supplemental to our base monitoring program. All of our work, this work and our regular monitoring, is funded through the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative, and we're really fortunate to be able to do this monitoring that will hopefully directly inform our management decisions and will give the public access to these data. So we're looking at the nearshore in addition to the offshore because, as you said, you know, that's kind of where people interact with the lake. That's the interface where the nearshore environment is much more directly influenced by things like nutrients coming in from rivers or, you know, runoff or other activities on land that might affect the processes going on in the lake. So we like to look at those nearshore sites when we have the capacity to do that in each of the lakes, and that kind of rotates around the different lakes each year.
Well, that will be fascinating to find out. I know that we're trying to become more aware, especially in our community, that everything rolls downhill, and therefore all of the salt or the sand or the lawn chemicals or the fill in the blank all ends up in the lake eventually, and we're trying to become more aware of that and trying to do our part to minimize those effects as much as possible. The Lake Guardian, it sounds like it would be a marvelous opportunity back in the day for folks to, you know, chat with you guys, maybe have an opportunity to go on board and take a little tour. Well, COVID obviously has put a stop to that temporarily. Perhaps next year we'll be able to do that kind of thing. But how are some ways that folks can still engage with your project and say hi or ask questions or do the kinds of things, perhaps maybe even get a look around virtually, that they would have wanted to do in person if they could?
So we have, you know, a lot of resources online to engage with our work. I'm going to kick this one over to Beth Hinchy Malloy and let her tell you a little bit more about the resources we have.
Fantastic.
Sure. You can follow us on the handle at EPA Great Lakes on social media. We've got a hashtag Lake Guardians that you can follow. We have a EPA Great Lakes monitoring website if you want to Google that. And we also work with some really great partners that are pulling together information and stories for the public. So there's a really great story map by Illinois Indiana Sea Grant, all of about the research we've done with partners on Lake Michigan and talking about what lives on the bottom now, how the quagga mussels are carpeting the bottom, and what those impacts are to the food web. You can learn about that on that story map. And we also have some University of Minnesota Duluth scientists on board who are helping with those nearshore samples you just discussed. So you can learn more by going to University of Minnesota Duluth website as well.
Fantastic.
And if you come to our social media sites, you can see videos of the bottom, videos of the ship and things like that.
Fantastic. Well, we'll get some links set up right away so it'll be easy for folks to find that information. And let's hope that we have a chance to say hi in person at this time next year.
Sounds fantastic.
Thank you very much.
We'll be open for tours.
All right, thanks so much for
That would be wonderful.
Yes, thanks for having us.
Thank you so very much. We were joined this morning on board the Lake Guardian by EPA life scientist Dr. Annie Schofield. We had a fantastic connection. Yay, technology! And supervisory scientist Beth Hinchy Malloy on the line from the EPA's Chicago office as backup and to add additional fabulous information. As I mentioned, we'll get some links set up as quickly as possible so you can check out the Lake Guardian online. Green Visions on KUMD is made possible with support from Heritage Window and Door, the Twin Ports supplier for Renewal by Anderson Windows and Doors, and from Minnesota Power Energy Conservation Program, making progress toward a lower carbon energy future.